home for their Sunday dinner, as it was the custom of the father to start asking his children in the back seat what they had learned in Sunday school. He came to his 10-year-old son and he said, "Junior, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" He says, "Well, I learned that Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea and they had mountains around them and the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army coming charging fast behind them." And the father says, "Wonderful, wonderful, what did they do?" And his 10-year-old son says, "Then Moses called for the Corps of Engineers to come and to build a bridge across the Red Sea so they might cross in safety." And the father pulled the car over and turned around and looked in the back seat and said, "Is that what your teacher told you?" He says, "No, sir, it's not. But if I told you what he told me, I know you surely would not believe it." I think that there's sometimes some bodacious love that we just know that that can't be true. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, I have a lie detector, a lie meter. I grew up in Memphis, and I learned to smell the manure wagon from 2 miles away. When someone's got a yarn, they're telling me. And we often have people, because we're right off of I-40 and off of Highway 412, that come and, you know, they got some story to tell. But pretty much I can tell where the needle's pegging, whether it's in the red or if it's in the white. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, actually the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Now, this is a New Testament truth that is based off an Old Testament commandment or principle. The ninth commandment of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." It's very clear here that these principles are principles for living, and they're principles for us to live by today. They are practically given to us at a great simplicity, and they are necessary, listen, for us to have the right relationships with God and with others. I think that we can be like the boy. We can kind of embellish a story and we feel okay about it. But I want you to really look deep in your heart today and ask yourself this question: am I a person of integrity? Do I have a moral compass? Am I someone that can be trusted? Am I an honest person? I think that we have different temperaments. We've read those books about the different temperaments, and I think there's some temperaments that lean closer to embellishing than others. And we don't want to say lying. That's such a harsh word, isn't it? But that's the word that Paul uses. We want to say, "Well, I've been known to embellish a yarn once or two. You know, the fish that I caught, I'm looking back there for some sinners to get right with God. And, I might have embellished that." We say words like, I did embellish, or, "Well, I did exaggerate." We use other synonyms for the word, really, lying. And evidently, there were some folks in the church of Ephesus that had a problem stretching the truth. Now, the Lord instructs us to speak every man truth, and in the Old Testament, not bear false witness. False witness is a liar. You're lying. You're saying that which isn't true. Listen to the few statements that we have here in scriptures. That's what the Bible says. Great emphasis on truth and honesty and having a moral compass. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." Proverbs 26, verse 28, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it." Psalm 101 verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Proverbs 6 says this in verse 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I think that sometimes we need to take a truth check to make sure that we're doing what Christians should do and tell the truth. Now, the truth can be tricky because sometimes we can be brutally honest and tear up a lot of things and hurt a lot of people. There are things like this. Does this dress make me? Just stop right there. Now, you're on shaky ground, you know. Dad, I made an elf in arithmetic. Am I dumb? Son, we're going to get you a tutor. You know, Pastor, here's our newborn. Ha ha. Isn't he beautiful? So interesting looking here. I mean, we can be brutally honest when we want to be, but there are times that we embellish, exaggerate our lie, and many times, depending upon our temperament, it's not even warranted. We just want to really speak about ourselves. Now, I have found that it's really good if you let other people talk about you. Some people are going to talk about you regardless, but it's better if you let other people talk about you rather than you talk about yourself. Let me help you with something, and this is not just for young people, for sure, but you are boring if you talk about yourself. If you talk about how good you are and how great you were and what you did and all this kind of stuff. And we all can do it, and sometimes we will do it. But we need to kind of set a meter there that maybe goes off. Only we can hear it, but it goes off. It ring-a-ding-ding-ding. Shut up about yourself. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about lying. And I want to encourage you this morning to determine to be a person of truth. Be a person of truth. I remember a conversation, and I was very young. I don't think I was probably 8 years old. And my father, who was not a saved man, he was not a saved man by any stretch of the imagination at this time. But I remember one time he set me down, and we didn't go to church. We didn't read the Bible. We didn't even own a Bible. But he set me down one day, and he told me, he says, "Son, let me tell you something. People hate a liar. And I want you to determine that you're going to tell the truth." He says, "Let me tell you something else. People hate a thief. And a liar and the thief are the same. And people hate folks like that. And I don't want you to be a thief. I don't want you to be a liar. I don't want people to look at you and doubt your word. You determine to tell the truth." And he says, "Son, even if it is going to require discipline, even if it's going to require some consequences, you tell the truth anyway." And I remember my father saying that. I remember having friends that would go into the local 7-Eleven or Stop and Go, and they would lift a candy bar. Or they'd lift, "Man, I'd never take anything. I wasn't afraid of the police. I was afraid of my daddy. And I was just a kid. But I had friends that would just give their five-finger discount. They had sticky hands, and they would take some stuff occasionally. They would brag about it. They'd talk about how easy it is. And, that was the day before, they didn't have mirrors, much less cameras back then. But understand this. My father was concerned. He wanted me to have a moral compass when it comes. And I don't think that he was by any means had the values of a Christian, but he hated a liar. He hated a thief. Now, notice the defining of lying. First of all, we should acknowledge the origin of it. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Lying comes from the devil himself. The Bible says he's the father of lying. Many times we blame the devil for all sorts of things that he is not directly responsible for. But there is no doubt he is totally responsible. He is behind the constant lying. I was talking to a friend of mine. I knew him as a very young man when he was in the Marine Corps. And he would come and stay with us. And today he's a psychiatrist, something along that line. And we were talking, and we were talking about counseling, how he counsels. And he asked me about how I counsel with people. And we were talking about this. And I asked him, I said, "What's the worst case you deal with?" And he told me, without hesitating, a liar. I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." He says, "Because they're so proficient in it, they lie so well that you find out one morning it hits you in the face that all the last 9 months has been nothing but a lie. No, the whole last 9 months." And he says, "There's got to be a meter somewhere where a child early in life determines if I have to go to jail, if I have to get a whipping, if I get yelled at, whatever the consequences is, I'm going to take the if they want to tie me up to the stake and set me on fire, I'm going to face the consequence before I lie." Now, listen to me. All of us should be to that point. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Years ago, there was a show on called To Tell the Truth. And these three people would come out and they'd sit behind a desk and a panel of people, usually, I guess, celebrities or somebody would ask them questions about. In the beginning, it would be read what feat they were known for. One of my friends that I knew years ago was named Evangelist Dean Blakeney. And Dean Blakeney was an evangelist, but he was a martial artist. And he broke, like 100 pounds of ice with his fist. He was up on a scaffold. And he used a samurai sword and cut watermelons off of people's belly. And he broke wood on fire and all this kind of stuff. And they're trying to see who's the evangelist Dean Blakeney. And they're asking all these. And then at the very end, say, "Will the real Dean Blakeney please stand up?" And everybody is sitting there and they're all going like this. Remember, it's like that game that you're trying to hit the little rabbit or whatever it is in there. And then finally he stands up and he got up and he broke so many bricks with his head. Everybody it was to tell the truth. But the other two people, they were lying. And they did it quite well. You know, we need to be careful because Jesus tells us that the devil, he's the father of lies. Jesus is the origin of truth, complete truth. So we have to understand that the devil, he's the direct opposite. He's the father of lies. Notice not just as we talked about the origin, but notice the operation of the lie. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 deals with this. First of all, the operation of a lie, we lie to others. He tells us in 1 John 1, verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." We tell things that simply aren't true. We exaggerate. We embellish. We twist and we stretch the truth. Isn't it interesting to see how resourceful some people are? I mean, they can tell 99% of it and dance around the bush and they look like the rose when they're the whole problem of the whole issue. Half-truths and manipulations are an art that some people have honed in their life. Someone said that a half-true or a half-truth makes a whole lie. We lie to others. We lie to ourselves. The Bible says in 1 John 1, 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We become a walking, living lie. We project this thing that we are not. We try to rationalize. We try to excuse things about ourselves. We may condemn others, but in and of ourselves, we are faulty. Sir Walter Scott said, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we practice to deceive." And we have trouble distinguishing between lives and reality. Do you know that? There are people who believe their lies. I mean, they think they're lies. I was telling someone the other night, I got to preach over at the assisted living home. And I so enjoyed myself there. Brother Deary Berry, he's being wimpy and sick and can't come. And Brother Martis, he looks for every excuse he can find not to go. And had some little hip surgery thing. And, you know, man, put a Band-Aid on it, rub some dirt in it and get up and go. And so I went over to preach. I didn't want to cancel it. And it's a great ministry. And those brethren have done a great job, including Brother Jim Gray. He picked me up. We went together and we were talking. And after the service, I had some of the folks come around me and talking. And I said, I know what's going to happen if I live long enough and I move into an assisted living place. I'll be that old guy with the cane out in my chair outside my room. I'll be looking at everybody. And I said, you know, I've walked on the Great Wall of China. I've been to Ireland. I lived in a castle for an 800-year-old castle for a week. And they'll say, dementia. He also thinks he's the king of Africa, too. And there are some things that are true that seem to be just incredibly, it's hard to believe. But there are some things that are that way. But there are some people who tell so many lies. And let me tell you something, whether you're an adult or a teenager or a young person, lying is not easy because you can't stay up with them. You don't remember what you said last to the person. You're telling them that you were coming down with your B-52, but it was a B-53. You mix it up. You can't keep it straight. Isn't it amazing how the truth is always so easy to remember and to tell? We lie to others. We lie to ourselves. And listen, we lie to God. In 1 John 1, verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. He tells us all have sinned. The greatest lie is to say that we do not need the Lord Jesus Christ. To say, I don't need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest lie. In doing so, we try to make God a liar. Many have convinced themselves that they're going to be just fine. They're going to do well. Many people believe and live a complete lie. God will not accept sincerity of the heart. He won't accept, I'm sorry. He wants repentance of the heart. So we see here the origin of the lie. We see the operation of the lie. But notice the outcome of the lie. The outcome of lying is always damage and devastation. We damage our relationships. We devastate those that are around us. Psalm 52, verse 2 says, thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Psalm 55, verse 21 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. When lies are told, lives are damaged. I wish you'd write that down. When lies are told, lives are damaged. Surveying this long-range damage, people were looking at the damage of a storm, the flooding, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the forest fires. People arrive at the scene to see this terrible what's taking place after it blows through. And after a season of lying, it causes great damage. If we could only survey the damage that is done in the lives of people because of lies. James chapter 3, verse 5 says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You see, we lie to others, we lie to ourselves, we lie to God. The outcome is damage and devastation, and the outcome eventually is judgment. Listen to me. Nobody gets away with lying. The bubble gum machine's spinning. You pull over. He walks up. Do you know why I pulled you over? Well, I'm not going to say I'm doing 85 and a 35. I'm going to say, would you please tell me? I'm not lying. I'm just not going to give any extra information there. Matthew 12, verse 37 says this. For by thy words, thou shalt be justified. And by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. There's a price that must be paid for lying. I'm talking to people here today. And you've had a problem with this. You still have a problem. I'm talking with people here today. If you see a couple of bucks laying around, you'll be glad to get it. I'm talking to people here today that if the banker makes a mistake and she gives you back $10 more, you just drive, that's on the bank. That's their problem. You know that they're going to check her drawer and she's going to be in trouble. It's not your money and you're lying and you're stealing about it. And let me tell you this. Listen to me. You better keep that $10 because you're going to need it, because you're not going to get ahead in life doing that kind of stuff. You never do. The outcome is judgment. We had a president. I was a teenager. The word Watergate makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck now. The Vietnam War was going on. My friends who are 3 and 4 years older than me were being drafted and were going. And I was looking at going myself if it continued. But the president, he wanted to win the election, and President Nixon, Richard Nixon, he was impeached because of his lying. That terrible walk, he goes out to the helicopter, the presidential helicopter, and he gets to the door, he stops and he turns around, and he goes like this, and gets on there, and he's impeached, and Ford becomes his vice president. Listen, this was his words. Nixon told his people when the investigation started, stonewall the truth. And he said, lie like Hades, but a little bit more direct. You know what it cost him? It cost him the presidency is what it cost him. You see, there's judgment, there's devastation, there's damage, judgment. All of this comes out of lying. You better determine, hey, you better know this. I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. I'll tell the truth. We see the defining of lying, but notice the description of lying. The Bible uses some words, the words slander. Slander is a malicious lie with an intent to do harm. It's like I would say, oh, James Gray, he's all bubbly up here and just Mr. Christian up here, but I've seen him. I've seen him at home. Slandering is a malicious lie with the intent to try to tarnish, hurt, harm someone else. Psalm 101 verse 5 says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Don't slander people. Tellbearers is another word in the Bible. A tellbearer is telling something without checking the facts out on the matter. They get something juicy. They start salivating. They can't wait to tell somebody else. I was driving to church one day and there's a lady who was very relatively new. You listen to this illustration, it may save you some trouble. And she called me on my car phone. Debbie and I were heading in. It was going to be time for choir practice. She said, I've just been thinking about brother and sister so-and-so. Now, can I tell you this? I don't talk to other church members about church members. As a matter of fact, I don't talk to my married kids about their married siblings. Joy Bell, I don't know, your sister Rachel, I think she's lost her mind. And Joy Bell turns back, well, you can understand why. I said, yeah, she married Joe. And Joey's not a racist name in here. And, when you start spreading something, she called me, she said, I know they're having problems. Are they still together? You know, are they going to get a divorce? You know, how should I? And then they spiritualize it. How should I pray for them? I said, well, I want to tell you, I don't gossip about other church members. And I said, I don't talk about our church family to other church family. I said, how would you like me to take some things that you confided in me and shared? She got livid on the phone with me. And shortly after that, I preached the message on gossip and she left the church. And we're better for it, I think. You see, you use words like they said, someone said, by the way, who are they? They say flossing is good for your teeth. I don't believe that. I flossed for 100 years and it hasn't helped me much at all. They don't know what they're talking about. Someone said, I heard this gossip, I heard this rumor, and it caused great hurt. A slander is a malicious lie with the intent to try to damage, harm somebody. A talebearer is somebody telling something about a situation who has not checked out the facts. By the way, gossip is when you're talking about or talking to someone who's not part of the problem or part of the solution. If they're not part of the problem, if they're not part of the solution, don't gossip. There's slandering, there's tale-bearing, then there's flattery. Words spoken with a motivation to manipulate another. Proverbs 26, verse 28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. I've seen a lot of marriages wrecked because of a flattering mouth. Let me tell you what evangelist Tom Williams told me. I think that's his name. He says, when someone flatters you, before you take 7 steps, dismiss it. We'd be better people if we do that. There's many ways to lie, but every way ends in devastation. Lastly, notice not just the defining of lying, not just the description of lying, but notice the defeat of lying. Three areas we must determine. First of all, this morning we ought to say, God, I'm determined to love the truth. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a woman. I'm going to be a parent. I'm going to be a young person. I'm going to be a young man, young lady that tells the truth. I'm going to love the truth just as the lie is of the devil, truth is of God. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. Paul spoke about the unsaved who do not love the truth in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They rejected truth. They did not learn to love truth. And if we will love the truth that we are sinners, the truth that we need a Savior, the truth that we can place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary, we can be saved. We need to determine to love the truth. John 8, verse 36 says, If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That is the truth. Jesus said that the truth sets us free. Determined to love the truth, but determined to learn the truth. We need to be committed about the truth. Before the truth can set us free, we must understand it. And before we say something, we must know that it's truth. There's been some times that I've said something. And I've had someone say, did you know, just last night I did something. And a friend of mine on the internet came on and said, did you know this? And then I looked it up. And I always look this and check the resources before I post something. But I thought I'd just go ahead. I was a little lazy and tired last night. And a friend from mine texted me and said, I know you don't know this, but I want you to know this. And sent me the documentation, and I went on there and took it off immediately. You would have never known it unless you had checked it. But, you know, we better learn to love the truth, and we better learn the truth. Jesus tells us that we can know the truth, and the truth we can know through His Word. And then lastly, not only do we determine to love and to learn, but there ought to be, are you listening to me? We ought to determine to live the truth. To do the right thing. People need to see Christ in us. We don't need to be lying. We don't need to be embellishing. We need to tell the truth. Known as people of integrity. Known as people of honesty. People of truthfulness. The way to change is through disciplining ourselves. We must put off the old and determine to put on the new. Ephesians 4:25 says this, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth." Now let me close with one verse. In Revelation 21, verse 8, you know it as well as I do. In Revelation 21, 8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters," I feel good right now. But then he puts in here, in verse 8, "and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, obviously, this is not talking about a Christian that sins. 1 John 1 says, if we to confess our sins, and Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm saying this, we need to be people of truth. Young people, children, you children, you young people, you be honest. You be truthful. I had a cousin who used to steal cigarettes out of his mother's purse. Died a terrible death. But thought he was so big, and so he'd go to her purse and he wouldn't take all of her money, but just take a few of it, a few dollars. And then when she questioned him, he said, "You spent that. Remember, you had to spend that." Three questions. Do you know the truth? Do you understand how much God loves you? And are you learning, living, and loving the truth? Be people of truth. Lying brings devastation, destruction, and eventually, judgment. Unusual Sunday morning message. However, I feel led to challenge you in that. Now, we're going to give an invitation. You're going to say, well, if I go forward, they're going to think I'm a liar. Don't worry about what people think. Worry about what God thinks. And you may need to come to the altar for something completely different, as so often God does. He deals with us with something else. But I know this. Wherever we are on the chart of morality, integrity, honesty, and truth, we should judge ourselves that we be not judged. And we should draw closer to God and be people of impeccable character. God's people said, stand with me.